streaming in higher quality. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Fantasy Football Fools podcast. Yeah, that was Eliseo talking over the intro. Hello, Eliseo and Brandon. My name's Jesse. We're all here.
Maybe the intro's delayed, so he wasn't talking over it.
Yeah, you never know what's going on these days.
Oh, my goodness. Week 13 in the books. I can't believe we're going into week 14.
Where did the season go?
It's gone. It is
not my way. I know that.
For me, it went from the bottom and started at the bottom. Now we're here.
You're welcome. That was all me, dude. You're welcome.
A lot of you. Yeah.
A lot of me. Like the past like 3 weeks have been all me. Like that's why you got yourself back into the good rankings.
Just because of Joe Burrow, huh?
Because you didn't have to mess with quarterbacks anymore. Now look at me. I'm like, oh no, like let me play a couple different quarterbacks and I took over your spot.
For a lot of people, this is the last week of the fantasy regular season coming up, and then playoffs will be after that. So we're going to try to do our best to help you out this week. We're going to go over who did great last week and maybe who might do great this week or maybe who might not. And then, of course, you got our balls to the wall at the end. That's the fun segment. But first, let's get into it. Here they are. Uh-oh. Injuries.
Oh, son of a... That's going to leave a mark.
Christian McCaffrey, yet again on this list. PCL, he is on the IR, will miss the rest of the season, and possibly the entire San Francisco season if they don't get their you-know-what together very soon. I'm just going to lump them in. Jordan Mason, high ankle sprain, also on the IR. That snow game was not a good match for San Francisco.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that the Jordan Mason injury came, the notifications came out like way after the McCaffrey one. So it was like, oh, McCaffrey's out. Awesome. Everyone who held on to Jordan Mason was like, all right, we're back, you know? And then all of a sudden he's on IR also. And you're like, oh shit, here we go again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened.
You're one of them, right?
Yeah. And you know, what's funny is before this game, for a long time, I held on to Davis, like the Buffalo receiver Davis as well. And then I dropped him because bye weeks and whatever. But before this game, I was like, it's snowy. Somebody's going to get hurt. And I was like, I already have Jordan Mason. I'm good there. I'm going to pick up Davis again just in case. I never thought it was going to be all San Francisco on that end. And I even thought, like, should I pick up? Because for a while I had Guarendo as well when Mason was hurt or when he got that shoulder injury or whatever. So I had him for a little bit. Never played him, but I had him just in case. But then he was like, okay. And then I thought about it. I was like, oh, man, this game is going to be sketchy. Should I pick him up? But I was like, I don't want to drop anybody that I have. So I think I'll be okay. I have the backup. It'll be all right. I was not all right.
Yeah, that's a tough thing, too, because I think we'd been waiting for McCaffrey to kind of get going. And he looked really good the first 6 or 7 carries of that game. And then he just gets tripped up on the play where that ends up being where the injury occurred. But he almost housed that run. He was, you know, he was shoestring tackle. That's when he gets hurt. It was almost like a 60-yard touchdown. And then the next play, obviously, he goes and he, you know, can barely even move and just falls down on his own. And you're like, oh, man, here we go again. So, he was so close to breaking that off for a touchdown.
But you were right. It's like he went down and I was like, oh, I'm in a good spot until, right. Until that notification. I was like, oh, crap.
I don't even – did you notice Mason get hurt in that game? Like, did he –
No, I didn't
remember.
No, I
was such a surprise to see that for me the next day.
I think McCaffrey was just getting back to, he was just about to get to his full health. So I think he was,
some people. That game, you could see it though. Everyone, you would see anybody run, anybody at all. They were all like tiptoeing around. Nobody was going full stride as much as they wanted to. The touchdown that Davis scored for Buffalo, like even on that run, he was going towards the corner, but I remember watching him. The reason why he jumped was because he was going to go out of bounds. He either had to jump, which was the safest thing for him to do and score, or he had to plant and cut up the field. And with the snow and everything, he knew he couldn't make that cut. He knew he was going to slide. So he just jumped because that was what he could do. And even at that point, it was like he barely made the corner. So it was like, it was one of those games where it's like, it was just it was a hard game. Like, somebody was going to get hurt. I don't know what word I was
inevitable.
Looking for
was that
inevitable? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was going about. On, and then that's why I got lost. But no, and yeah, that's what I meant.
I we'll talk about this a little bit later. But yeah, I definitely was watching this game very closely because I had a player or two in it that was going to make or break my week. More on that later. Taysom Hill, knee out for the season. Your quarterback, I mean, your tight end, I mean, your, well, he's gone.
Yeah, that was coming off of a big week, or, you know, a couple weeks ago, I think, where he just had that monster performance, and he was kind of a guy you could play because New Orleans is so hurt. They had no receivers, right? No Olave, no Shaheed. So he was catching passes now. He's kind of their do-it-all, everything player. But again, I always complain about him being, you know, tight end eligible, because he really should just be a flex, because that's literally what he's doing every time he plays. So I don't like to see guys get hurt, but I'm happy that he won't be going for like a random 40-point week and, you know, winning it for somebody against me.
Just you, against you, not anybody else.
Yeah, nobody else. I refuse to own him because it's like cheating.
Yeah, you don't want. Yeah, you don't want to.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence concussion. He's in protocol.
That was Dallas, bad.
That was dirty.
That was really dirty. That was bad.
And then it started a brawl, which was kind of awesome too.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to get? Well, he'll get fined, I'm sure.
He got suspended, I think, for three games today.
Oh, he did. Okay, nice. Okay.
But yeah, then I heard the coach's press conference for the Texans. He basically like said he didn't really do anything wrong, and they backed him up. And it was a very weird thing to say because it was completely, you know, you just can't do that. And he has a history of doing that. He used to play for the 49ers. When their coach was over there as a D coordinator. So he's got a history, which I think led to that suspension. But yeah, definitely a dirty hit on the quarterback there.
Dallas Goedert, knee injury. Lade McConkey, knee injury. Rashad Bateman, knee injury. All those guys, monitor them this week. Calvin Austin, the third, head possible concussion. He probably has a concussion in protocol. And DeMarcus Robinson hurt his hand. I think he was out for the game too, which is really weird. But I think he's. They said he should be good for this game.
Remember last week when you said, "Oh, we haven't really had any of these," you know, and then it was like going into the injury session of the show, and now it's like, "Oh, we made up for it."
Well, it's specifically running backs, and then there you go, two big ones, one big one, but one team just. Gone for you. Although Christian McCaffrey hasn't been that great for you this season anyway, if you drafted him. So, all right. Those are the injuries. That's all. That's all, right? I didn't miss anything. There was no sideline injuries this week. I think we're good.
No, a ref. There was a ref. And I can't remember what game it was, but a ref got taken out and then he got carted out because I don't remember if somebody hit him or if he was backing up and he stepped on somebody's foot or so. It was one of those. It was like an ankle thing. So I think he might have stepped on like a player's foot as he was trying to walk backwards or something. But yeah, no, there was a ref was out this week. And I was like, oh, okay, well, at least it's a ref. It's like he's in the action. But it was not anything like to brag about. Like, oh, yeah, I got taken out by a player. No, it was something really stupid. And when I was like, is it an old guy? And it was an old guy. So it's in the same category.
It always is, yeah.
All right, let's talk about our fantasy top players.
Oh, yeah.
Wait for it. Oh, no, you fixed
it. Very, very good. We're going to start with quarterback, the quarterback of the week. Believe it or not, Jameis Winston. 41 fantasy points, 497 yards, and 4 touchdowns. He killed it against Denver, which is a pretty good defense.
Well, he also threw 2 pick sixes. So it's like that's the full Jameis experience,
yeah.
Right? Like, you love it. You love having him. You love playing against him. Like, that's classic Jameis Winston.
How many points did he score this week? Like total?
40-something. You know?
Yeah.
41.
Yeah, even with the two pick sixes and whatever else happened.
The Denver defense was worth 20, I think, because I had the Denver defense. They were also worth 20 and gave up all of that. So it's, yeah.
But
we love Jameis. Great for fantasy.
What sucks about him, well, he's really fun to watch, but what sucks about him is, like, he could put up 40 points and then the next week put up 5 because it's just terrible, you know, because it's all pick sixes the next week. So you never know. But yeah, he's Jameis Winston. That's what you expect.
But he's much more relevant than Deshaun Watson made that team.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was the same thing last year, right? Who was playing when
Joe Flacco played for Cleveland?
Oh, okay. Well, they made the playoffs, right? Was that with Joe Flacco or was it some? Yeah. Flacco. Remember we talked about this earlier in the year too. We were like, last year they only made it because Deshaun Watson was hurt, and then like we agreed, like, oh yeah, that's why they got so far. And then this year we saw Deshaun Watson. He started awful and was like, oh yeah, and they get rid of him, and it's like, they're doing better. They're not winning, but they look like a real football team.
Yeah.
From Winston to Wilson, Russell Wilson, 34 fantasy points, 414 yards, 3 touchdowns. He also did a great job this week.
I'm still playing amazed.
Don't we have a drop for him?
Oh, I don't think we have it anymore.
Steelers country. Let's ride.
Pittsburgh Steelers, let's steal. I don't know what that. I think he's done with that. I think he realized, okay, I'm not going to make a fool of myself anymore. So to stay out of the press. Number 3, Jaden Daniels, 31 fantasy points, 206 yards, 3 touchdowns, 34 yards rushing, and another touchdown, doing Jaden Daniels things. Josh Allen, I know we want to talk about this one. 30 fantasy points. He had 148 passing yards, guys. It was a snow game, but he did have 2 passing touchdowns. I'll get back to that. 1 receiving touchdown. Oh, that's what I mean. 1 rushing touchdown, 1 receiving touchdown. Yeah, so he had 2 passing touchdowns, 1 to himself, double points, passing,
that's
receiving.
So ridiculous.
If you told me there was like one player who was going to do that at quarterback, he'd be the first guess, right? Like, it's insane. But that was an awesome play. Really, it makes it even cooler in the snow, right? It's like more fun to watch it in the snow. But also, I was curious what the fantasy ramifications of that would be. And he got double points for the touchdown. It was awesome.
Yeah, and the first player in NFL history to score a passing touchdown, a rushing touchdown, and a receiving touchdown in the same game, which is pretty darn cool. So there you have it, Josh Allen. And the number 5, Caleb Williams, has been climbing the charts, 26 fantasy points, 256 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Anything to say about him?
Yeah, he's actually been good the last 2 weeks since they, you know, got a new offensive coordinator who's now the head coach, because they just fired their head coach after that debacle on Thursday. Mismanaging the clock, which was terrible. They probably could have beat Detroit, came down, at least tied it up, sent it to overtime. But he was a big reason why, and so he got them back in the game, and kind of curious what they look like moving forward, certainly without the head coach.
It's like he's not the problem. Yeah, that's all.
No, we've seen him get better. We've seen him take strides. He's brought relevance back to DJ Moore. Keenan Allen's been good the last 2 weeks. So I think we're starting to see the promise of that number one pick kind of paying off, and now I'm curious to see where they go without their head coach.
Do you think the offense is going to be better or worse because the now he's doing head coach duties as well?
No, I mean, they've already been better, right?
Right, but I think he's still going to be the play caller. I think they announced that, and they just promoted somebody else to coordinator, but he's still calling plays, I think. So, you don't know exactly how that's going to be. He's a first-time interim head coach, obviously. So, how does he manage? Now he's got to manage the other side of the ball also. So how does that affect what he's doing offensively? Not sure. But I think at this point they've got nothing to lose. They're kind of trying to see what they got in Caleb. So, I would expect them to continue to play well. I think they play San Francisco this week. So that's another interesting matchup. Yeah. Kind of one team or another team that's on their way down, certainly.
All right, let's move into wide receivers. But before we get there, I want to say that this week – I was doing okay. My players were doing all right. And it kind of came down to that Sunday night game. And early in the week, I heard it's going to be a snow game. And I said, man, okay. So I have Juwan Jennings and I have Deebo Samuel. And man, who do I play, right? And then I said, okay, I'm going to wait. I'm going to see. And then as it got later in the day and the score was very much too close for me because he had some players playing afterwards, I said, maybe I should drop Shakir from Buffalo, right? Because he hasn't been doing that much. Drop him and pick up somebody. So who is playing on Monday night that I could pick up? And there was one guy who I said, maybe I can pick him up, but I didn't do that. I said, what if McCaffrey gets hurt? What if something happens and they have to give Deebo the ball? So I switched Juwan Jennings out for Deebo Samuel, and I did not pick up the number one wide receiver of the week, Jerry Jeudy, who got 35 fantasy points and would have won me my week, 235 receiving yards, and one touchdown. I was very close to picking him up. I'm serious. It was very, very close, but I didn't do it. He had a great game. That was a game against his old team, right?
So yeah, definitely. He was on Denver, who's drafted him, didn't really do much. Yeah, they kind of traded him away last year. But yeah, I was kind of in a similar, not a similar situation, but I was playing, I was up like in a different league, up like 50 points, and they had McCaffrey and Jeudy left. And so I felt pretty good, especially after McCaffrey got hurt. And then I had to sweat that thing out because Jeudy was going ballistic. Had McCaffrey finished the game, I lose because he would have been well worth at least 15 points. So, yeah, that was definitely scary. But, yeah, huge game from Jeudy. He's benefited a little bit from Cedric Tillman being out with the concussion the last couple of weeks. So Judy's kind of been that number one guy. But, again, Jameis is making those guys relevant. He was good. Elijah Moore was even good last night. But I'm curious to see what that looks like once Cedric Tillman comes back, which he should be back this week, to see what that distribution looks like. But yeah, I'd imagine Jeudy is, if he's on a waiver wire somewhere, he's probably getting picked up in most leagues.
Terry McLaurin, number two, 19 fantasy points. What was his stat line here? 73 and two touchdowns. You expect that?
Yeah, real quick. I think McLaurin's been one of those guys that's been a real nice surprise this year. He's kind of probably playing with the best quarterback he's ever played with. It was with Jaden Daniels this year. McLaurin actually, and maybe this spoils it later, wide receiver number two overall for the season, which I think is a huge surprise. So that could be one of the biggest, you know, draft day values for those that picked him. But he's just been really consistent all year long. I'm trying to look at his stat line real quick. He's been in double figures almost every game. He has a 1-point game a couple weeks ago, but besides that, he's been 9 points or more in every week since week three. So really consistent, been really good. Jaden Daniels certainly has boosted his stock this season.
Number three, Parker Washington. Yes, Parker Washington, Jacksonville, 19 fantasy points, 103 yards, and a touchdown. Throw in a 2-point conversion, because why not?
Those are the guys we dream of picking in balls to the wall, right? Like, that's what we're going for.
Yeah.
He's 1% owned. 1% owned. Keenan Allen, number four. Like we said, he has been getting better with that Chicago team getting better. 19 fantasy points, 73 yards, two touchdowns this week. 70% owned in leagues. And then Mike Evans, number five. 18 fantasy points, 118 yards, one touchdown. Mike Evans coming back to relevance. He hasn't really been doing much lately. I think he was out for quite a few games also. And then I'm just going to throw in number six here because I have been saying I'm going to pick this guy up for several weeks, and I think everybody has and nobody has. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, 18 fantasy points, 61 yards, and two touchdowns this week. He has scored a touchdown in 7 of the last 8 weeks, and he's rolling. Moving on to running back.
I'm going to go one more guy deep there just because I want to tell a sad story. So the next guy on the list is Marvin Mims. I was playing in a separate – and Marvin Mims is the kick returner for Denver. He gets like occasional ball here or there. I was playing in a league where you only get points for touchdowns and if you go over 100 yards. And I was up, I don't know, like 15 points. And he got that 93-yard touchdown, which was worth 10. And then he got another 10 for going over 100 yards. It absolutely killed me. probably ended my season. Just like stuff that makes just drives you crazy, like a 93-yard touchdown. Like that's the only way I could have lost, and it's unbelievable. So screw you, Marvin Mims.
By one of those guys that you wish you had as a balls deep.
Right, there you go. Exactly right.
It's a double whammy.
Running backs. Bucky Irving takes the number one spot, 25 fantasy points, 152 yards rushing, one touchdown, 33 yards through the air.
I didn't play against him, and he killed me because I had Baker Mayfield and Otten. So he killed me.
Yeah. I am a Bucky Irving owner. And again, he's a guy we've talked about for a long time. He's kind of, he was splitting carries a lot with Rashad White throughout the year, but he was always the guy, you know, averaging 4, 5, 6 yards a carry, and Rashad White was getting 1 or 2. And so he's just been the better guy all year long. And now he's starting to get all the volume. They're still splitting carries somewhat, but he's getting more and more and more and more. This was obviously a season high for him in, you know, carries and yards. And we talked about it again the last several weeks. Like Tampa Bay has that schedule that you really want going down the stretch. And Bucky Irving could be a league-winning type of guy who you picked up off the free agent wire, you drafted really late, and he's now you could play him as an RB1. He's going to be probably a top 10 guy the rest of the year. So one of those guys who's really helped propel seasons forward.
Bijan Robinson, number 2, 20 fantasy points, 102 yards, one touchdown, 33 through the air. To be expected against the Chargers, which is a tough defense, but Bijan is good. Rico Dowdle takes the number 3 spot, 19 fantasy points, 112 yards, one touchdown, 11 yards through the air. I think he's getting just more and more. He's the guy, basically, but I don't think he was even number 1 on the depth chart until this week, or they were.
He has been. I feel like he was the last couple of weeks, but he didn't start that way. It's just they're so bad.
Yeah, he's been the guy lately. The offense has kind of looked functional the last couple of weeks. They started to score some points. And I think they've finally gone away from Zeke taking, you know, 30% of the work or 40% of the work. And now he's just getting more volume. The offense has gotten better. They're getting more plays. So, he's a guy that's been really affected the last few weeks with that increased role.
Number 4, Joe Mixon, 18 fantasy points, 101 yards, one touchdown, 18 through the air. He's good. He is good, good, good. And then Najee Harris rounding out number 5, 18 fantasy points. Also with 18 fantasy points, James Cook and Saquon Barkley this week. The people that should be up there are up there in the running backs this week 13. Moving on to tight ends, Brock Bowers led the way, 21 fantasy points, 140 yards, and a touchdown. He is
doing the best player on your team, Jesse.
He is probably the best player on my team. He got more points than my quarterback, so there you go.
The
quarterback on my bench.
So, here's my question for you guys. So we saw a really good rookie season last year, Sam Laporta, right? 10 touchdowns, super hyped this year. Is Brock Bowers different? Like, do you see people overdrafting him again overdrafting him next year coming off of this season? Or like, what do you think he does next season?
I feel like we don't know because we don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be on that team. So like you bring in a rookie, which they're probably going to do right now. They got this second overall pick if things stay the same. You don't know who they're going to bring in. I mean, you could guess, but you don't know. So you don't know what that guy is going to be like as far as where he's targeting, where he's, you know. So I feel like people will over-target him, but not like they did Laporta or Kelsey, like rounds 1, 2, or 3. I don't think it's going to be like that, but I think once you hit like round four, definitely round 5, I think people will jump at that. I am not going to be one of those people, but I'm sure a bunch of people will.
You know, I think that it's likely he'll be drafted too early just because they're going to have a whole year of footage on him. Coaches are going to be able to look back and see what's going on. Obviously, it depends on what the Raiders do, how they look. Do they have other players that are going to do something? He's the only one right now, and he's still scoring. So, I mean, there's something to that. But also, lost my train of thought there. I don't know.
I agree with both of you guys. I think part of the issue with Laporta is there's so many other pieces in Detroit, right? There's the two running backs. There's Amon Ross St. Brown. Jameson Williams is back this year. Like, there's just a lot of guys there that are really talented. Whereas with the Raiders, he's the guy, right? Jacoby Myers has been really good, but there's really nobody else. So I think the volume will still be there because there's not enough pieces around him to kind of spread the ball out.
And unless they bring somebody in, like if they're drafting a quarterback and they like, let's bring in another receiver. It's not going to be a Devontae Adams, but it'll be somebody, you know, because they should. So the volume might go down. It might not. So again, it just depends on what they do. As far as like the one guy, so it's going there. I definitely thought that that was going to be Malik Nabers, and that's why I traded for him, except that now it's like nobody on that team.
Nobody can like get him the ball.
Yeah. And so.
And I think the only thing that will save people drafting him high is that he's on the Raiders. So that may be a part of it too. But I think fantasy football owners are smart. So.
No, they're not. What are you talking about? No, I feel like he's going to start getting drafted around the fourth round again, because it's like you can pick up a running back, receiver, running back, receiver, receiver, do whatever you got to do, you know? And then fourth round, you're like, oh, I could go for a tight end that's going to stand out and give me a couple more points than everybody else. And I don't think it's a good call based on how it's going this season. I know he's doing well, but I don't think it's a good call.
Brandon, would you take him in the fourth based on this season's performance?
Depends on like the amount of teams and the structure. But yeah, I think he's going to get better. And I think, again, like, I don't know that even if they start a rookie, I don't know if the quarterback play can get.
It can't get worse. No.
Right? Like, and O'Connell was really good last week. But again, it's not like you're dropping off from Josh Allen to somebody else, right? Like, it's going to be pretty level. And again, he's such a weapon. He's been really good as the focal point. He's already been good. He's already breaking, I think he's four catches away from breaking the tight end rookie record or something, and there's five games left. So he's just been really steady, really consistent. He's a really talented player. So yeah, I think there's a chance I could take him early in a draft. Again, there's a lot of situations that it would depend on, and teams and roster construction and where I'm at and those kind of things. But I tend to not do that. But if I was, I think he might be one of the guys that I think is almost like matchup proof and bulletproof next season, because I think, again, I think he's going to get consistently what he's gotten this year as a minimum.
Number two tight end David Njoku, 17 fantasy points, 52 yards, two touchdowns for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, Jameis feeds everybody.
That was such a high. What was the score of that game? It was 41-32. Not the highest, but the next one's the highest. Pat Freiermuth, number three, 12 fantasy points, 68 and a touchdown. That game was 44-38. That's a high, high scoring game between Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, which you would not expect. Jonnu Smith, number four, 12 fantasy points, 113 yards, no touchdowns. And then Mark Andrews, number five, with 12 points. Dalton Schultz, Sam Laporta also had 12 points. So you had quite a few tight ends this week over 10 points, which has been not the case in recent weeks. So nice to see that. On to kickers. Everybody wants to know the kicker of the week. Chad Ryland was the kicker of the week from Arizona, 17 fantasy points. He had 5 field goals, 1 over 40, and a PAT. And then the defense of the week, the Los Angeles Chargers, 21 fantasy points. Honorable mention, Denver with 20 fantasy points also. Those guys definitely helped your team. That's the good guys. Now for the not so good guys.
You blew it!
Did I just paste my roster again? No, actually, it wasn't as bad this week. Still lost. You know who was bad? My quarterback. He's on here. CJ Stroud, 13 fantasy points. Yes, I played him again. I didn't learn my lesson. But you know what? He got 25 points against this team last time they played, and I said, okay, maybe he'll do it again. Spoiler alert, he did not do it again.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Jacksonville's the worst pass defense in the league. I had him going in a different league, but he's just, yeah, disappointed all year long from what we saw from him last season to what we see this season. It's just not the same player. He takes too many sacks. Joe Mixon's having a huge year. He's taking away a lot of the volume. They didn't have that running game last year, but I don't think anybody saw this drop off. He's been one of the major fantasy disappointments this season, certainly.
Debo Samuel, I talked about him. I said, hey, if McCaffrey goes down, they're going to give him the ball. He's going to have to run. Well, Jordan Mason also went down, so they have to give Debo the ball, right? He had 2 fantasy points, and then he fumbled the ball. So he has 0 fantasy points for the week. That was my starter. Juwan Jennings had 5. Would have lost either way, but neither of them did good for you. Kareem Hunt, 1 fantasy point. Cade Otton, 2. CeeDee Lamb, 3. Garrett Wilson, 4. Cooper
Kupp.
Can
we stop real quick?
You can stop.
Do we have an Aaron Rodgers segment in here anywhere or no?
We don't.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about it with Garrett Wilson. So Garrett Wilson, 4 points. But in that game, the Jets were up 21-7. They were looking good. They were dominating. Seattle was turning the ball over left and right. They turned the ball over on 2 straight kickoffs at one point. The Jets had a kick return touchdown. They're dominating 21-7. Garrett Wilson, wide open, runs a great route. Rodgers misses him. I could have completed the pass. He was so open. Very next play, Rodgers throws a pick 6 to a defensive lineman, to Leonard Williams. He goes back the other way for a touchdown. Completely changes the game. They should have been up 28-7. So Wilson's day should have been better. But again, his quarterback is awful. He sucks. We want Tyrod Taylor.
I'm just saying, I called that shit at the beginning of the season. That's all I want to say. Just like I called Denver a couple seasons ago, I called the Jets this season. So I just want to throw that in there.
Cooper Kupp, 1 fantasy point. Amari Cooper, 1. TJ Hockenson, 2. And I put him on here because San Francisco defense, you don't expect them to get -4 fantasy points for you, but they sure did this week.
Honorable mention, Justin Tucker.
Oh, yeah.
He missed 2 field goals and an extra point?
Yeah, he's missed 8 field goals and 2 extra points. He's missed 10 kicks, which I feel like he hasn't missed. He wasn't that good last year either, but like the 10 years before that, I don't think he probably missed a total of 10 kicks. Like, he was automatic.
Yeah.
But should they get rid of him?
Probably. I mean, yeah, probably.
I feel like there's a kicker out there that can do better. I mean, look at Young Hao Koo, too. He used to be a great kicker, and he's I think, missed like 4 of his last 6 or something. So, yeah.
But sometimes you think, like, is he just having a bad season, or is this it for him? But Justin Tucker's been doing it for a long time. So it's like the odds are, you know, it's like is
he one of the guys that like he gets to decide when he's done, not like the team? Like, I don't know if the team would cut him because he's like the best kicker of all time, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So I don't know if he's one of those guys. I have another guy to mention, Kirk Cousins. I think he is one of LSAO's quarterback guys he had a couple weeks ago. So the last 3 weeks, Kirk Cousins, 0 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He threw 4 this week, and they're all really bad. There was one, he threw a pick 6 on one of them, like threw the ball across the field and looked like a high school game. There was like no velocity on it. It was like, I'm like, you're an NFL quarterback. Like, how do you, like, he's lobbing it across the field. Like, this is really bad. So something's wrong there. I don't know.
Yeah. They definitely, I feel like they had the division. It was like, oh yeah, they're going to lock this up. And now you see them and you're like, they're not going to win the division.
Like, here comes Tampa.
Yeah.
So yeah,
don't get me started on Baker Mayfield though. Terrible. Jesus Christ. Oh, great. Great. The rest of the way he's got nothing but green grass in front of him. He's going to do great. What do you do? Like 7-6 points? If that, I don't
Was
even
it that
know.
Bad? No.
Yeah. Way. No. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Cause he threw, I think, 2 interceptions and like a few sacks.
7 points. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was like, It's like he was doing bad, and then he started scoring, and I'm like, all right, here we go. And then you know how he's had, like, in the games, he does a lot of, like, garbage time points, you know? Not this time. His points just started going down instead of up.
And well, then like, he got hurt, too, and he was
and then he got hurt. Snaps, yeah.
Like, oh, no, and then he came back. Yeah, he's got the Raiders this week, so he should be just fine, right?
Technically, yeah, but we'll see.
All right, we're gonna do a little segment here. It's really not just a segment. We're just gonna go through the top 10, maybe 15, and we're gonna name off some names in each position for this year. And I just want to know what you guys think about. We don't have to talk about every person. Some of them, obviously, okay, that's where they should be. Some of them, like, wow, that person's up there. Or that person should be there, shouldn't be there. What do you guys think about all these? We're gonna start with quarterback. And number one quarterback of the year, by the way, 351 fantasy points versus number two with 288. That's a huge difference. Lamar Jackson has been very consistent this year. He's doesn't have, I think, what, 14 fantasy points is his lowest scoring game, but all in double digit, most of them 20, 30, 40 points.
That's, oh, sorry, go ahead. Finish.
No, you can. That's. You
can I was just going to say, when you have two runners where you don't know, where the defense doesn't know, like, all right, do we have to actually care about the running back? Or, oh, we can't fully commit to the running back because the quarterback can run. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. That's, you know, you never know who's going to score the touchdown. And, like, that's why I had them as the Super Bowl winners. But they somehow keep losing games, and I don't understand that, to Pittsburgh. And I was like, oh, this is where they take over first place, and they just couldn't do it. They're still going to make the playoffs, and I still they're still going to make a run, but I don't know what the problem is there with those two guys.
Number two quarterback, Joe Burrow, 288 fantasy points. He started off slow, and then he got hot, and I know you guys I know you two have something to say about
this. Yeah, the best thing about it is even this week, he had a really bad first half. Like, so in our league, right, we talk about it. You lose points for, you know, all the turnovers and sacks and things. And he was still worth 21 points this week. And he, I don't have it all here, but I think he threw a pick. He lost two fumbles. He got sacked like three or four times. He had like 10 points that were, like, negative 10 points, and he's still worth 21 points. Like, that's just the ceiling on him is just so incredibly high.
And that's against the best team.
The Steelers, yeah.
Against quarterbacks, yeah. So
yeah.
I saw this stat where it's like, of all the teams that have scored, you know, I forget what it is, this many points, like, let's say 30 points, you know, 32 points, whatever. Of all the teams that have scored this many points every week, like, the win percentage is like in the 90s, but for the Bengals, they've scored that many points, like, a lot, and their win percentage on that is like 10 or something. It's totally bonkers. Like, they are a good team. They're not winning, but it's just like it's like when I complain about, like, my fantasy seasons where every time I play somebody and I lose, I would have literally beat everybody else that week because all the scores were lower. I just happened to play the person who scored the highest points of the week. And that, like, there was one season where it happened to me like 7 or 8 times, like, a lot. And I feel like that's what the Bengals are going through right now. It's like every week you just can't, just for whatever reason, just can't make it happen.
Just look at their point totals. I mean, this is just some of the games they've lost, how many points they've scored. 27, 34, 21, 38, 33, 25. So yeah, they can score points. They just, they let people score more. So, all right. Moving on. Baker Mayfield, number four quarterback of the season. He has 25 passing touchdowns, over 3,000 yards, 257 points. Did I skip Josh Allen? Yeah, I skipped Josh Allen. So Josh Allen, number three, 268 points. Baker Mayfield, number four, 257. And then Jaden Daniels, number five, 254. I'm going to kind of keep going down here. Stop me if you want to talk about him. Jalen Hurts, 245. Number seven, Bo Nix, 229. This is his first four games this season. 8 points, 5 points, 18 points, 8 points. Since then, he's been a little bit better, and I think getting better.
Yeah, sorry, real quick. He's been really solid, and I think a little bit surprising in the sense that you think about, like, Russell Wilson was there last year and couldn't do it in Sean Payton's system, right? Not much has changed, just really the quarterback. All the other weapons are still the same. So kind of surprising to see a rookie doing that well. And then, again, good for Russ, too. He's gone somewhere else and been successful. But just surprising to see rookie Bo Nix running the system better than veteran Russell Wilson last season in Denver.
Jared Goff, Sam Darnold, Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes. So not a lot of surprises up there. I think Bo Nix is the biggest surprise up there at the top. Moving on to wide receiver. Who do you guys think the number one wide? You probably have there in front of you, but Jamar Chase, number one wide receiver, 194 points. The next closest, 142. So again, quarterback.
And he started slow. Remember, they started slow too, like they usually do.
So, and yeah, he had. I mean, he was okay by game three. He was doing 24 points, so not super slow, but. Jamar is Jamar. You expect that. Terry McLaurin, we talked about him earlier, number two, 142 fantasy points. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 140, number three. Justin Jefferson, number four. Jaden Reed, number five. We were talking about him before the podcast began,
I believe. We were talking about him because we were talking about how the offenses in general this year are not what you expect. And the caliber of running backs have been a little more consistent and stable, but receivers, like, other than those top three guys that you would expect, other than that, it's like Jalen. If you look at Reed's, like, just if you look at his, like, game log,
I'm gonna say it right now. So he's the number five receiver,
first,
right?
Week,
yeah, the first week, 29 fantasy points, right? And then 3, 6, okay, week four, 20 fantasy points. 8, 8, 1, 5, 12, 8, 2.
Trash.
So, yeah,
like
it's
in 2 weeks,
boom and
he
bust.
Had like half his fantasy points. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, what does that say about the rest of the league? If he can have that performance and be a top five guy, what does that say about everybody else? You know, like, we're not, the receivers this year haven't been what we expect them to be in previous years, just overall.
But that's the thing, like, for guys, say a guy has like 100 points, would you rather have him score 10 points 10 straight weeks, or would you rather go like 25-0-0?
Oh, no, for sure, 10. I would rather have 10 every week.
Take the consistency, yeah. You know, right?
And that's what I'm used to. When I draft receivers, it's usually based on, like, you know, like, oh, every week I know they're going to do well as a whole. Like, they're not going to, like, go crazy. I mean, sometimes, like, the higher picks, yeah, they're going to have those crazy weeks. But normally it's just, like, if you can get, like, 15 points, like 12, 15 points. That's like average. That's pretty good. But this year, a lot of them have been like 2, 3, 2, 5, 30. Yeah. I think that's happening more this year than it ever has before.
And so, yeah, so you're winning those 30 weeks and then you're just losing all the other weeks, right? So that's the.
Well, I lost when Chase had 40 points, I still lost. So,
yeah, that's true. I wonder why
that
was.
Yeah. Because my other guys had 2 points.
And your quarterback was on the other team.
Yeah, which literally the week before they would have been together, but that week they were not anymore. Dude, that's crazy. Like, I would be in your spot and you would be in my spot if I didn't help you out. I hooked you up, man.
All right. Cortland Sutton up there as well. The next number six spot. Brian Thomas Jr., Zay Flowers. So some of these are people you wouldn't expect to be in the top 10 that are in the top 10 this year. CeeDee Lamb, you expected him to be out there. Drake London, that was expected. And then Jerry Jeudy, not even owned in our league. is up there. But
look at his game. Look,
perfect example.
Yeah, exactly. One game.
Two games, right? Elite week 11, week 13, 56 combined points of his 109. So more than half of his things came in, you know, two of the last 3 weeks. So
yeah. So that's what you're playing with when you do the boom and bust game right there. Let's move on to running backs.
Sorry, I was gonna. Can I catch on the next two real quick? Nico Collins was the next one, and he's missed like 7-8 games this year, right? He's barely played anything. He's been awesome. And then again, guy I feel like I've been disappointed in all year. Garrett Wilson, he's whatever, wide receiver 13 or 12 or something. Like, it's crazy. Like, you haven't been happy with these guys, but they're still really good compared to everybody else.
And I wonder, what does that say about offenses moving forward? I mean, is it going to be, I think that the offense has been changing in the NFL, and it's going to be a spread the ball around, have a full, more offensive, more offense in the game. I think people wanted higher scoring games. That's what they want to look at, but it's not going to be the same every week. If you have a good corner going up against him, your guy's not going to do anything. So it's going to be interesting for fantasy, I think, these next 5 years or so.
I think part of it too, and we'll get to it when we talk about the running backs, I think we're seeing probably more increased scoring in running backs. And so that's taken away from the receivers, like from the years past, where it's kind of like running backs was dead and it's like, let's draft all the receivers. But then running backs made a comeback this year.
And the quarterbacks too. I mean, we have the tush push, we have Lamar Jackson, we have Josh Allen, and those guys love to run in, you know, from like the 1-2, you know, whatever. They love to run it in. So it's like that takes away from the from the pass game also. So.
And now you got Jaden Daniels and you got Anthony Richardson. Yeah. All right. Running backs. Saquon Barkley is not a lot. It's not as big of a jump from 1 and 2. 256. Derrick Henry, 238. 1 and 2. Get this. 1,499 rushing yards for Saquon, 1,407 rushing yards for Derrick Henry. Insane. The next person on the list, 887 rushing yards.
Oh, man. Which
number three is Joe Mixon.
Real quick, just on those three guys. Yeah. Those are all guys we saw change teams this offseason, right? So they were all in other places, signed with new teams, and have been much better on their new teams than they were on their old teams. So we used to, you know, be like, oh, running backs, when they play for 4 or 5 years, they're done, their legs are gone. These are all guys who have moved on to new contracts and new teams and been better than they even were before. So again, I think it's just a different season. Things are changing. And again, we got to keep adapting to those as we move forward with, you know, future seasons of fantasy. You just, anything can happen, right? Trends change, things change, and it all kind of comes back. It used to be a running back driven league, and maybe now we're back to that the next, you know, time we draft.
Jahmyr Gibbs, number 4, 181 points. Josh Jacobs, number 5.
Another guy who changed teams, right?
Another guy that I traded away.
Yeah, true.
Alvin Kamara, number 6.
I drafted a great team.
I shouldn't have been a fool. Yeah. Should have stayed in school.
That's why I'm the king, man. I'm the king.
Bijan Robinson, number, 7 right there. Kyren Williams, David Montgomery, James Cook. So a lot of these people you would expect to be up there. Chuba Hubbard, even on that bad Carolina team, is up there as well. A little bit more expected in the running back realm. Let's move on to tight ends. This is interesting because Brock Bowers is technically number 1 with 109 fantasy points, but George Kittle also has 109 fantasy points. I guess they're the same. They put Brock Bowers first. Those guys have both been consistent and good. One of them you expected. The other one you kind of expected, but maybe not as well as he's doing with Brock. Number 3, Trey McBride. Number 4, Johnny Smith.
McBride with no receiving touchdowns either. Still number 3.
Yeah, that's right. No one receiving touchdowns.
No receiving, yeah.
Interesting. And 781 receiving yards. Where's all of those points coming from? The math doesn't math.
He's one rushing touchdown. There's 6. Yeah, I don't know how he got there.
That's interesting. Jonnu Smith, 86 fantasy points. Mark Andrews, Tucker Kraft, didn't expect him to be up there. Taysom Hill, I guess you expected him. Zach Ertz, Travis Kelce, way down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
And that's only based
on the top 10.
And that's only based on the last couple of weeks, because he hadn't been doing anything in the last, like, I want to say 3 weeks. He's actually, like, either scored or, you know, had a few yards. And that's, and because it's like the wasteland, so you can quickly move up. But that's the only reason why, is literally just the past few weeks, because he was trashed all the beginning and kind of still is. He's just did a little bit more.
He's only had 2 games over 10 points. So that
there, yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Anyway, that's just kind of looking at, so going over it, I think there's a lot of expectation that we expected them to be up there, you know? And so some things kind of pan out that way. And then some are just throwing the dart and hitting the right one, guys you like. All right, let's move on to matchups. We still need a drop for this. I don't know why we don't have a drop for this, but, it was a good week in matchups for one of us. All right. So I was 26 and 29 before this week. Brandon, you were 28 and 27, and Eliseo was in first, 31 and 24. Our first game we picked was Miami at Green Bay. Green Bay was favored by 3 points, and Green Bay won 30 to 17. All three of us picked Green Bay, and so we all get the point. Next game was Las Vegas at Kansas City. Kansas City was favored by 13.5 points. Brandon, you said, I'm going to go against you
guys. I took one for the team.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Me and Alessio picked Vegas, and it wasn't even close. 13.5, no. Vegas lost by 2 points. Me and Alessio get the point. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati was our third game. Cincinnati by 3 points. You both picked Cincinnati. I guess I took one for the team. No, I actually thought that Pittsburgh was going to win, and Pittsburgh did win 44 to 38. I get the point. Fourth was the Chargers at the Falcons. Chargers by 1.5. You both picked Atlanta. I picked the Chargers. This one I wasn't so sure about, but I did go with them. And the Chargers did win by 4 points, covering that 1.5. I get the point.
Atlanta should have won that game. 4 interceptions and a couple missed field goals, and they lose by 4 points. Come on.
Yeah. And then finally, Philly at Baltimore. Philadelphia by 2.5 points. I picked Baltimore. You both picked Philly. Philly won 24 to 19 covering, or they won outright. So you guys win the point, which means if you're doing math over there, Brandon was 2-3 this week. Eliseo was 3-2, and yours truly was 4-1. So the comeback begins, which means, well, it's great because I was the only person under 500, and now I'm at 500. I'm 30-30. Brandon, you're same. 30-30, and Eliseo, 34-26. So we're trying to catch you at this point. So what are we picking this week? Here it is. We got Green Bay at Detroit. Green Bay is 9-3. Detroit is 11-1. Is that right? Detroit's 11-1. Wow.
Have 2 losses.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I think the only team that's 11-1 is Kansas City.
No, they're 11-1. You're right.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. Detroit is favored by 3.5 points. This is the highest over and under of the week at 51.5. Am I going first? Oh man. All right. Green Bay, they're doing well. They're 9-3. They got something going. But can Detroit win by 4 points? This is tough because I almost want to pick Green Bay. But I have a feeling Detroit's going to get it done here. who has the better defense is the key. I'm going to go with Detroit. I'm going to hope they cover that 4 points. I'm a little bit worried they're not going to cover the four, but I do think they will win.
You or me, Alessio?
Go ahead.
Yeah, again, it's a great Thursday night game. We don't get a lot of these, so happy to see this one. Detroit's really good, but they've been getting more banged up on defense. A lot of injuries on the defensive side of the ball. We saw Chicago play pretty well against them in the second half. Probably could have won that game. I think this is a good game for Green Bay. So give me Green Bay plus 3.5 on Thursday night.
Yeah, Detroit's definitely a lot more injured. Like one of the, I don't know if he, if they actually lost one of their linebackers or not, but I know he was out for a little bit. One of their starters. So like, yeah, they're, but that offense, man, it's like you, nobody can stop that offense, you know, and they're at home. And Green Bay's doing well, but I feel like Detroit is on a tier above, you know? It's like when you tier up teams, you know, Detroit is definitely at the top and Green Bay is not. So I'm going to take Detroit, like, all day.
Detroit all day. Next up, Seattle at Arizona. Seattle is 7-5. Arizona is 6-6. This is a division matchup. Arizona is favored by 3 points. 44.5 over under. Who wants to start it off?
I think I'm up. Yeah, that's a tough one again. NFC West showdown. That's a tight division. Both of these teams are very inconsistent, so you kind of never know what you're going to get week to week. So I'm just going to take the points. Give me Seattle plus 3 here.
Are they in Seattle?
In Arizona.
In Arizona. I just feel like they are really inconsistent, but Seattle seems to be doing better overall, like especially lately. And I expected more from Arizona, like, and they just aren't getting there for whatever reason. Also, it's just one of those teams. Again, they're both just really inconsistent. So yeah, I'm going to take the points also. Give me Seattle. This is your chance, Jesse. This is your chance.
Well, here's the thing. I think I picked Arizona. Was it not last week, the week before? And they just were horrible. And I think last week they were really bad too. It's really weird because on paper, it seems like Seattle should easily win this game if you're looking at kind of what's been going on and how Arizona's been playing. But again, Vegas knows something because Arizona is favored by 3, which is crazy to me. So I want to take the points with Seattle. I'm just worried that they're going to, well, I guess if they win by 3, then it's a tie, right? So I'll go with Arizona. Sure. Why not? Why not?
What are the odds though?
I gotta catch up somehow. Well, I guess I only have to catch up.
You gotta make moves. Yeah.
Buffalo at the Rams is the next game. Buffalo is 10-2. The Rams are 6-6. Buffalo is favored by only 4.5 points. Seems like it should be more. 49.5 over under. Eliseo, kick this one off.
You know what? It's the same kind of thing with the Rams. It's like every time I think like, oh, they're starting to play really good. They, you know, they're healthy. Here we go. They played really well, and then the next week they totally sucked and they blew it. And I'm like, wow, that was not the same Rams team. And so you put them up against somebody like Buffalo, forget about it. Like, I don't think that Buffalo needs a bigger spread. Like, they're not going to blow them away. I think like the Rams are going to make it competitive. But again, Buffalo's on a completely different tier at this point than the Rams. So give me Buffalo.
To me, yeah, everything should say Buffalo, but you know what? I'm going to take Rams with the points. Hopefully they lose by less than 4.
Okay, I'm going to break the tie here. Yeah, I'm going to also take the Rams, and I think part of it is Buffalo just won the AFC East. They're still, again, they're only a game back of Kansas City, so they still have some chance to play for home field. But again, I don't think you're as motivated. I think you're coming off of a tough Sunday night game, so you're playing a little bit of short rest. Brutal game in the snow, right? You probably got beat up a little more than you were used to. And I think the Rams need it more, so I'm going to take the Rams at home plus the points.
Next up, we have Los Angeles Chargers at the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chargers are 8-4. Kansas City is 11-1. Kansas City favored by 4 points, over and under of 42.5, which is quite low. Crap, do I start? All right. Kansas City never covers, but it's only 4 this time. Can they do 4? Look, the Raiders are not a great team, and they almost beat them. So if the Chargers can't cover the 4, then I don't know what to say. I'm going to take the Chargers.
Got to make a move. You got to make a move.
I'm not taking the Chiefs again. Give me the Chargers. I tried to talk myself into the Chiefs way too many times this year on this. That's why
I did it once, and that was enough. Yeah. I can't. Chargers. I don't just think that they cover. I think the Chargers win, unless there's like a fourth quarter under 2 minutes left big call, which is normally the case with them. I think the Chargers win this game.
We all think the Chargers 1,000%. The Chiefs are covered. There's no doubt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesse, do you want to switch your pick?
No. Nope. As soon as I do that, they're not going to cover.
I was like, should I switch my pick so that maybe they do lose? Yeah, I don't know. No, I'll stay with the Chargers.
Cincinnati at Dallas is the final game. We're all waiting for this Monday night football game. Cincinnati is 4-8. Dallas is 5-7. Cincinnati's favored by 5.5 points. 49.5 over under. Brandon, to you.
So, I know you're joking about, like, we're all waiting for this. I'm kind of sneaky excited for this. Cincinnati, obviously, they're fun to watch. My man Joe Burrow. So I'm going to be waiting till Monday night to see if I win my matchup, right? They're going to score points. We know that. Dallas has been – but they're also going to give up points, right? They've given up a ton of points, too. So I think Dallas could sneakily move the ball. But, again, I'm going to just take Joe Burrow over Cooper Rush. I'm not going to feel good about it because the defense can't stop anybody, but I just feel better with those weapons on that side of the ball, even on the road in Dallas. So give me Cincinnati and my boy Joe Burrow.
There is nothing in this world that can make me take the Cowboys ever. Like, it's just not a thing. So for no other reason that it is the Cowboys. So give me Cincinnati. But I will say that it would be hilarious, and I hope it happens, that this is, for some reason, for some unexplainable reason, that this is the Joe Burrow 1-point game. And then and then Brandon misses the playoffs because of this game against the Cowboys, who's like, he should score like 50 points. But we'll see what happens. But again, Cincinnati's got it. But if they don't, it's going to be hilarious.
Oh, man. You know, Dallas was not in my top 5 this year. I do not want anything to do with Dallas.
But you got to catch up.
Except.
but Dallas has a better record, and I don't have as good of a record as LSAO. I do got to catch up. Screw it. I'm taking Dallas.
Yeah.
I'm going to regret that, I know.
They're calling you Jesse Jones. You're like Jerry's 7th kid or something.
All right, let's get straight into it. You get your balls through the wall, man. Balls through the wall. Balls to the wall, everyone's favorite segment. These are the guys who are going to go off.
Did something play? Did something play? I don't know. Okay, go ahead.
All right, number one, my player, my boss at the wall last week, it was Michael Pittman Jr. I said he was going to be number one. He was going to do 91 yards and a touchdown. He did 5 catches for 42 yards.
And that was a good day.
No touchdown. And Josh Downs did not play. So Anthony Richardson did well. Did he? I don't know. Brandon picked Anthony Richardson. I totally forgot. You said he's going to go off, go balls to the wall, 350 yards, 3 touchdowns. He had 109 yards and 2 touchdowns, plus 48 yards on the ground and another touchdown. So 3 touchdowns, right? There you go. Mm-hmm. Just not 350 yards. Not bad. Not bad at all. And then Eliseo, you said Marquez Valdez-Scantling is going to do 86 yards and and 2 touchdowns. He had 2 catches for 36 yards and 1 touchdown. So better than my guy. Good job there. All right. I'm going to start because I don't know, because if you guys veto this one, then I'll have to pick another one. This guy is very much owned. I don't know how much owned off the top of my head, but he's very much owned. Hasn't done much, right? Hasn't done a lot this season. Definitely not going to be able to pick him up, though. I think, you know, San Francisco has had a lot of injuries right now. But I didn't go with the running back. I didn't go with the backup running back. You know, I went with this guy who is the 48th wide receiver, of the season. He's had, 3 games over 10 points. That's it. He's only scored 2 touchdowns the entire season. This is versus Chicago, which is actually a tough defense. They give up the 4th fewest points to wide receivers. But you know, he didn't help me last week, so maybe he'll do it this week, but I probably won't even play him. So on my bench, he's going to be doing 72 yards and 2 touchdowns. That is Deebo Samuel. Is that acceptable to you?
It's just like wishful thinking, but I mean,
I think it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't care.
It's mediocre. I wish you would have gone a little bit bigger, but
like, you know, I don't think anybody's like, I don't think anybody's benched him. So like if people were like, oh, I have this guy and he was benched, it would be better. Because it's like, oh, people have benched him, so he's making a comeback. But I think people just play him all the time.
The reason why I didn't go bigger is because 72 yards would be his 3rd biggest games in yardage. And 2 touchdowns is all he's scored for the entire season. So he's actually doubling his touchdowns for the season.
Fair.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
You or me, Alessio?
I'll go. Oh man, this week I'm going back to the bog of eternal stench for my player, back to the wasteland of the tight end position. We talked about the Saints earlier, and I actually picked Moreau for a touchdown earlier this year, and I got it. So I'm thinking, yeah, a lot of people are hurt, and Derek Carr dumps it off to the running back a lot, or he likes to throw bombs. But other than that, he's got no guy in the middle. So I'm going to go back to the tight end, but this time, Juwan Johnson, not Foster Moreau. It's going to be Juwan Johnson. Not the best matchup against the Giants, but also the best matchup against the Giants. So I'm feeling Juwan Johnson this time. But he's going to be in the middle a lot, and he does go for like some long passes, but I don't think that's how he's going to do his damage. I think he's only going to do about 54 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Okay, I like it. All right, my guy is 10% owned, but 100% hurt. You've heard of him 100% of the time. Again, I'm going to go over to the Monday night well where we got a big scoring matchup. Again, we got the Bengals that are going to score a ton of points, and we got the Bengals defense that's going to give up a ton of points. So my guy this week going for 6 catches, 110 yards, and 1 touchdown is wide receiver Brandon Cooks.
Nice.
That's my guy this week. Brandon Cooks, Monday night, tearing up that Bengals pathetic defense.
Yeah.
You said 1 touchdown?
1 touchdown, 110 yards, 6 catches.
By the way, I didn't mention this, Juwan Johnson, 3% owned.
I will also say that Nick Westbrook-Ikhine will get another touchdown this week, because why not? Yeah, it just keeps going.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Fantasy Football Fools here. Again, that's it. Another week. Good luck on most of your last week on your regular season. Hopefully you get into the playoffs. Other than that, all we got to say is don't be a fool.
Gotta stay in school.